You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Now that pot is legal in Michigan, here is a question. What should that mean for the 50,000 or so people who've been convicted of marijuana crimes? Could their criminal records be expunged and remove the barriers that come with having that criminal record? On yesterday's Stateside, we learned California is using an algorithm that helps speed the process of searching through court files and looking for people eligible for expungement. To find out where we are in Michigan, we welcome Margot Bruner, who's political director for the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. I know you've been working on a national campaign called National Expungement Week that happens in September, but expunging specifically pot-related convictions is something all states who legalize are dealing with, right?
Yes, it is. When you see the end of prohibition, there's an effort to mitigate that damage. When you have possession limits right now in the state of Michigan, you can legally possess 2.5 ounces of flower. You can legally possess 10 ounces in your home. And what does that mean for all the people who had arrests that were under that possession limit? What does that mean for people even who had possession limits that were above but are just deemed citations now and not actual criminal convictions. So we're working towards that diligently.
And to be very clear about the language, so we're all on the same page, expungement and reducing a conviction, not the same?
You cannot reduce a conviction through expungement. Expungement means that this used to be on your record and now we're going to remove it from your record. And it varies from state to state what can be done. In the state of Michigan, if you have two misdemeanors, then you are eligible for expungement. If you have one felony that's more than 5 years old, depending on what that felony is, you may be able to have that expunged as well. Some other states do what's called a record sealing, which means it doesn't come off your record. It's just that people can't see it. It still is there.
Like buried in the vault, never
it
to
is,
be seen
exactly.
again.
So it varies from state to state.
Give us an idea of the day-to-day effects for someone who has got a criminal pot conviction on their record. Why does this matter?
Well, the expungement week doesn't extend only to marijuana, even though I am in the marijuana industry, so this is a huge conversation around that. But it can mean many things for people. You can be denied public housing. You can be denied access to education and certain student loans and grants. So it can affect you as far as employment as well. So it can have a huge financial impact on your day-to-day life to have things on your record. And quite a few people do. It might be something very low level, but approximately one in three people have something that could be found on their record via search.
Now, California's Prop 64 had a clause that opened the door to people convicted of light pot offenses to expunge their records, but there wasn't anything like that on Michigan's ballot proposal last November. Why was that?
Yes, and that's one of the things that varies from state to state also. So in the state of Michigan, it wouldn't have been as simple as that straightforward including it in the initiative, because in the state of Michigan, our driving laws are also criminal. You can face criminal conviction for a suspended license and things of that nature. So we needed to have a conversation amongst multiple departments to be able to do expungements en masse. They would not have happened in a streamlined manner at all if we would have included it in the ballot initiative.
So then what has to happen? What steps need to proceed in Michigan so people that have these convictions could have them expunged?
Well, the most important thing and the easiest and the best thing that could possibly happen is if we had automatic expungement. So you mentioned Code for America. If we were able to implement that program in the state of Michigan, then you would just flip a switch. And on this particular date, it would have vanished from your record. You wouldn't have to go to an individual magistrate and apply for expungement in the way that we're doing with National Expungement Week, because this is the least that we can do. But that requires funding. So now you have to get a legislative order to fund or to pull money from the general fund to fund this type of software. And the software is actually sold at a municipal level. It happens city by city. So I know that San Francisco did it, California did it. Every single place has not had Code for America clear my record.
All right. But so you have to get a legislature on board and money.
Yes, at state and municipal levels.
And what are the politics in Michigan? What kind of support is there among legislators now for moving forward to get this?
There is huge support for this.
Both sides of the party?
Yes. Governor Gretchen Whitmer said that she wants to do expungement. Attorney General Dana Nessel is definitely on board for expungement. So we don't have a lot of pushback about this one. Legalization is a very tricky thing, and there are some things that are kind of like low-hanging fruit, essentially, that people agree on. Whether or not you agree on legalization, now that we have it, you should have your record expunged.
You know, there are those who will say, well, hey, you know, it was against the law in 2010 to possess whatever amount of pot that got someone that conviction, and that person knew it when that it was against the law, so too bad. Now it's a new law, but we should not go back and spend time and resources rewriting history. How do you respond to that?
I've probably only heard that once in all my travels. I guess there could potentially be that sentiment. But generally, it's almost unanimous that these things should come hand in hand.
I'm wondering, as we talk about pot convictions, can you give us an idea how have different communities and different groups been impacted through the years by pot convictions in our state?
Yes. It varies county by county, but individual municipalities did target certain groups, particularly minority people, and there are some huge disproportionate arrest rates throughout the state. It varies. I believe at the top of those might be Kent County, where 15 times more likely as a person of color to receive a marijuana conviction. I think the national average is about 3.3%. You see it a little bit less in the city of Detroit because that's a minority-majority community. Mm-hmm. But even within the city of Detroit or Wayne County, almost double.
So how quickly do you think in Michigan we might see this motion, all of this movement toward expungement happen?
I am not sure of an exact timeline. There is definite support for expungement, and I know that people are going day by day with all of the effects that I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely a priority to tie in this particular software to make this happen. I have not heard that discussed at that level. That's primarily a discussion that I have had nationally with people in association with National Expungement Week. As it happens to be, I am also on Attorney General Dana Nessel's policy transition. So it definitely is a priority, and I have direct access to the Attorney General in a discussion that will be had. But there have been so many laws that came out of legalization, and we're working as fast and as furious as we can.
And then real quickly, while we have you here, I know you were in Lansing where some state lawmakers are urging Congress to quickly pass a law, the Federal Secure and Fair Enforcement Banking Act of 2019, that would let banks and credit unions provide financial services to marijuana businesses in states where it's legalized, currently not allowed under federal law. What's at stake here? How is that moving?
Well, this is something we've had medical marijuana on our books in the state of Michigan since 2008. We've had corporate level medical marijuana since 2016 through the MMFLA, and now we have adult use. So throughout all of these entities, it's an all cash business. You've read all of the projections in Time and in Fortune and Newsweek. It is quite a lucrative business for some, but it's very difficult to do it in cash. Also, one thing that kind of complicates this is because even though it's federally illegal, you still have to pay federal taxes. And not only that, you pay the highest level of taxes under 280E tax laws. So you have to pay federal taxes, you have to pay state taxes, and you have to do that in cash as well. So even on the state level, to take in millions of dollars in cash is a burden for the state as well. That's not usually how people come and pay their taxes. So we have legalization on all of these levels. It only makes sense to allow people to do legal banking when they have a state license.
Margot Bruner is political director for the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much.